The GAA programme with Tom Comack is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Get behind Donegal in 2017 and gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
GAA Vargas Falchuk, Jean Clark, come and look, Glasgow, and Shock, and Shull, and me, Tom Comack, with you as always on a Wednesday night. And, well, I'm delighted to say I've got two very special guests in studio with me tonight, two joints of Donegal football, All Ireland and Ulster champions, National League winners. I speak, of course, of Neil Gallagher and Christy Toy, two of the quiet men of Donegal football as well. So we'll get them to sing a song maybe on later on tonight. Neil and Christy, between them, have close on 30 years senior championship experience. There's a lot of memories there. There's a lot of medals. First of all, Christy, good night to you.
Nice things, Tom.
Good. And same to you, Neil. Good night to you and delighted to see you. Of course, the reason why Christy and Neil are in, the recently retired, Neil, of course, the most recent of the two. I don't think we'd have got Christy in here at all, only for the fact that Neil retired. So we're delighted to have them, I say. And if you want to join us or listen into the conversation or join in the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. You can text us on 086 60 25000, and if you're dialing us or texting from the north of Ireland, you can text us on 086 60 25000, or sorry, 00353 86 60 25000. So first of all, Neil, I suppose you're the most recent to depart the scene. Finally decided to pack it up. Was it a difficult decision, or was it one that I think was made for you? Was it?
It's probably made the end up there, Tom. I just kind of, I suppose, this last while, you kind of been trying to train and stuff like that, hey, and it just kind of wasn't, just wasn't really able to get
a back problem. Just, and you had missed most of last year with the county, except for a few minutes.
Most of last year, not too, because when we played, I think it was maybe more in March, played against Roscommon and that, but didn't play much then, and then just kind of only kind of getting patched up then for the club and that. But I kind of tried to give it a rattle for a couple of months at the start of this year, but it's just kind of the miles are in the legs too, and that, yeah. You know, so, probably an easy enough decision to make, you know, for body, you know, with the body wouldn't allow you, it's an easy enough decision. But again, you know, as I said, it's kind of been hard to make the decision because you've been part of it for so long, you know. So
yeah, you were there since what, 2004,
so 2004. I kind of Brian McInniff kind of played a couple of times on the 21s, a couple of years, and kind of Brian brought me on then. So kind of been there and thereabouts since.
Yeah, and it was the back, and it was basically you weren't able to train to the level, or was it that the back just come at you when you?
No, it's probably you try to get it right there and stuff, but listen, it's kind of combination of different things, just kind of, you know, maybe a lot of miles in the legs and kind of maybe the age and stuff, and you need to be very fit now, and you need to be kind of able to train consistently. And to be honest, listen, I just couldn't, I wasn't able to do that, you know. So listen, not completing another.
I've had a good innings. Christy, you went nice and quietly, just I think after Christmas. Was it what kind of a situation was it for you? Was it difficult as well?
Well, I mean, at the end of last season, I didn't want to decide straight after a game or anything like that, you know. I knew probably going into the season that was a fair chance it probably was my last season, but at the same time, I didn't want to just make that decision right after the Dublin game or anything like that. So just wanted to take stock throughout the winter and you know, take everything into account and see how I felt then in January. And you know, it's, I suppose it's like anything, when you won a championship or something, it's not just one reason why you won. It's always a lot of different reasons, and the same for me when I was retiring. You know, there's a lot of small reasons that came into it, and you know, just in January then, informed Rory that listen, it was just time to go and time to move on. You know, Neil was mentioning there, like, you know, the body maybe just not being able to recover in time for trainings and things like that, and I suppose the lack of game time maybe wasn't going to improve any more this year, and you know, had a good innings as well, and was just the right time to go.
And did Rory, I know he did say subsequently that he felt that maybe of all the guys you were the one guy that maybe had something left to offer. Did he try to persuade you to stay?
Oh, he did, you know, I mean, that was one of the things. I mean, Rory did show me encouragement that he wanted me to stay on, and he said there would still have a role within the squad and stuff like that there. And, you know, it was, I suppose, from a fitness point of view, I was always fairly fit in that. But at the same time, I mean, recovery-wise and that, and trying to stay at the high-intensity level required for county football now, it was just getting that wee bit tougher. But no, I mean, Rory definitely showed me encouragement. He gave me a lot of time to think about it as well. You know, he didn't rush into any decisions, or he wasn't constantly phoning you saying what's the story, you know. He let you make your own mind up, and Yeah. And that was up
there. And you were there since what? About 2002? You went straight from minor, did you?
I made my debut in November 2001. It was a league playoff against Louth. It was just kind of the time between the change in the leagues, remember? It was,
yeah.
Used to play three games before Christmas, so that was, I think, a follow-on of that from the foot and mouth. So
he's ancient when you hear him talking like that.
I know.
In the old system.
Yeah, yeah. So
well, you were still a minor at that stage, were you?
I'd played minor in the summertime that summer, that previous summer, but it was, I think the game, that Louth game, was a, I think it was called off the year before because of foot and mouth or something like that there. So that was the first game I down in Enniskillen. So.
Yeah, yeah. And you came on then, you made your debut in the championship the following year, wasn't it?
I came on, Mickey Moran was the manager, and in fairness, you know, he was a great manager for integrating young fellas into the team and that, you know, and he put... Remember myself and Kevin Cassidy into the team straight away, you know, for most of the league, and you know, we're starting a lot of the games, and then I think played and started all the championship games, bar one that summer as well. So I got the foot on the door fairly quickly with Mickey there. You know, you have also good opportunities, young fellas. So you probably mightn't see that as much nowadays, you know, and things like that because of how competitive it is. You know,
yeah, though we're seeing signs of it a little bit with Jason McGee this year.
Well, that's what I was talking about. Exactly. There's a couple there now, but
yeah.
You see teams like Dublin that maybe they don't have maybe 18 or 19 year olds in the team that regularly, so
but obviously the game had moved on. Neil, did you play minor?
No, I didn't play minor now, but would have kind of been, I was late enough. I kind of went out of America for a couple of summers when I was at college and that, you know, when the ones out the Glen kind of remarked that I came back fairly kind of bulked up a wee bit and stuff, so kind of played 2 years under 21 then with Shawnee McAniff and that, you know, so I just kind of
That was your introduction. And tell me, Neil, growing up, your boyhood heroes.
Ah, I suppose it would have been kind of like I was nine the time. That's 92. The time that Donegal won 92. So there was a lot of them boys. Like, you know, Tommy Ryan was just down the road in Termin, and then
see Tommy actually taking up a new job with Parnell's in London, managing them.
And Anthony Malloy and that, you know, would have been the heroes, like, you know. And then kind of suppose when I got older, I suppose kind of watching, and you know, I always used to watch with Kerry and that, like, and like Darragh O'Shea was just, you know, I still think he's the best midfielder there ever was, like, you know. So he was just kind of loved the way that he used to kind of
where your family are steeped in GAA, aren't they, really? I think
they'd always have a big interest, like Mammy's from Burton Port and that, but she wouldn't have had, I suppose, too big an interest until she moved to Glenswilly and that, you know. But
I find that very strange, or Ross's woman would have to go to Glenswilly to convert to GAA.
She just loves the home house there. It's just, you know, across the lake there from Tony Boyle and that, you know. So but I, there would have been always kind of that in that, would always went to the games and stuff like that, you know. And then there's seven of us in the family, and we would have all played, like, the four boys and three girls, and that would have all went down to the old field in Glenswilly at that time, you know, and kind of played away there and stuff.
Yeah,
you know.
And Glenswilly were kind of very much in their infancy at that time, weren't they, really?
Aye, like, I mean, I suppose we still, I remember, I think the first year maybe started playing in 99 for the seniors and that, and we got beat by Mulford in the junior final in 2000, and then just kind of,
That's another story for another night, because it's a great part of it as well, is the rise of Glenswilly. Christy, as I said, you know, your boyhood heroes growing up?
I suppose, obviously, myself and Neil, the generation we were in, the 92 team would have a big effect on all us boys at that age, you know. And I remember Joyce McMullen, I always loved watching him play, the way he used to be able to carry the ball and things like that. And I suppose you had the more obvious ones like Martin McHugh and that as well. But I remember the Galway teams, 98, you know, Michael Donlan, brilliant player, Boric Joyce, you know. Imagine those players would have moulded your thinking in terms of football and how you played and how you viewed the game and that. So,
And of course, Martin McHugh probably would have been in your first county, inter-county manager, would be.
That's right. He managed the county under-16s, who won the Ted Webb in 99. He would have was kind of a... I suppose you get your eyes opened a wee bit when you seen the type of training that he was doing with us and that, you know. Before that, you wouldn't have maybe come across that type of training or maybe coaching. So you definitely got your eyes opened a wee bit as a young fella that age in terms of what
you was expected at level. You were coming through with a very successful St. Michael's underage team around that time, weren't you?
That's right. We'd won the under-12s, and we competed in all the finals up until under-21 as well. You know, we were beating actually in every final, apart from under-12A till under-21 final, by four masters, you know. So we had great battles with them, Barry Dunyans and them teams, and Carrie Lacey. So Myself and Colin there would have been on the...
Yeah, Paul Durkin would have been.
Paul Durkin was on it as well, so we'd have been the Smegs team. So I would have... I suppose we had a good enough pedigree coming through there, that team, and there's still a few of those lads still in the senior ranks there now at the minute.
Yeah, and then again, who were the influences in St. Michael's? Who were the big influences as you growing up as a boy?
I suppose my own father would have been involved heavily with coaching at underage and that. The Parish League would have been set up down there in 95, and Dad and Colm's father, Colm Senior, would have been big drivers behind that. And both him and Colm Senior would have managed all our teams from maybe under 12s up until minors, and suppose two of them would have major influence, I suppose, down the years in club football anyway.
Yeah, thought to a guest, Lish and Clark, coming to Clasky and the Shocked on the show with me, Tom Comick, and my special guest tonight in studio are a double all-star midfielder Neil Gallagher and Christy Toy, of course, both members of the 2012 All-Ireland winning Donegal senior team. And of course, Neil, you captained Donegal to a National League title as well, didn't you? The first one, climbed the sets, first man after your idol, Anthony Molloy.
That's right, it's 2007. Brian McGavery, and that was the manager, so I succeeded this man here as captain, captain the year before.
Bandage on the head, eh?
Fall
over in the game or not?
But I kind of, it was good. Like, we had a good enough league campaign. I mean, that, you know, we had a good couple of results against Kerry and stuff like that. And I think we beat Kildare in the semi final and then Mayo in the final. And that, you know, so it was good. It was a good lift at the time and stuff, you know. And I probably didn't kind of think throwing hammers in the championship that year then, you know. But it was nice to be, you know, the captain, you know, the one in the first league and stuff, you know.
Yeah. And tell me, Christy, of all the memories, what's the one, you know, when you think back over, you haven't had that much time, but what's the one?
I suppose, like, there's so many in terms of winning stuff, like the obvious things, like the Ulster Championship and obviously the All-Ireland, but I suppose one thing for me sticks out in my mind was my first game coming back after I'd injured for a good while in 2014 against Laois. It was my league game, first league game of the year, and it was just kind of the reception I got when I came off the pitch and that, and maybe made you kind of realise how much of a connection there was there between the Donegal players and the supporters, you know. And that day kind of sticks out in my mind a lot. And I know it wasn't a very glamorous occasion or anything like that.
Down in Port Laois as well, was it?
That's right. We actually hammered Laois that day, but I just remember the reception the Donegal supporters gave me when I was been coming off the pitch. I remember coming off a blood injury. It just kind of always sticks out in my mind, you know, as a nice memory from a personal point of view, you know. But obviously the collective viewpoint, just like the All-Ireland would be the main memory.
And I suppose winning Ulster as well, because you played in a serious amount of Ulster finals, didn't you, before you actually won one?
I suppose the first, we lost three, it was 2002, 2004, 2006, we lost to Armagh, beating All-Ireland semi-final by Armagh, so I suppose there's a lot of heartache there in terms of that, and... But I suppose a lot of people look back on that and say that maybe Donegal didn't prepare as well as Armagh and Tyrone, these teams. But at the same time, the Tyrone and Armagh teams of that period were probably the greatest teams that ever went through that county, you know. So you probably have to put into that kind of perspective as well when you're looking back on those things, that, you know, if you look at those two teams, like, they're two of the best teams maybe come out of Ulster. So
Armagh won All-Ireland and Tyrone won three.
That's right. And they've, you know, completely dominated the Ulster Championship. So... No, I mean, listen, a lot of those disappointments led us eventually to the...
Sitting your resolve, I suppose.
That's it. It's all experience, you know, and it always led us to the point we got at the end up, which was All-Ireland, you know.
Yeah. And when you came into the team, like, what was it like you coming in as an 18-year-old going back in, 2001, 2002? Who were the big men there then? Adrian Sweeney, Brendan Devaney, was it?
Adrian Sweeney and Devaney, I suppose, would have been the most prominent member, the most well-known.
He's the loudest, anyway.
I remember he just actually came back from Australia. That winter, he'd been voted player of the tournament out in international rules. So his name was fairly up in lights around that time. And I remember Brian McLaughlin was in the panel at the time and John McCafferty there. I remember travelling up the train with them for the first ever training session. And just like anything else, you're nervous going into the dressing room and things. But you just realise they're just people like the rest of us, you know, and you get to know them. And all very helpful and very welcoming.
What's it like when you go into a dressing room first like that, you know, because obviously you're going in and you're threatening somebody as well, aren't you?
Well, I suppose you can look at it that way too. There's probably some boys, maybe they see young lads coming in and see maybe as a threat to their position, that, but I don't think I experienced any of that as a young lad. I mean, I remember the first train was in Ardra, and I remember Damien Diver, you watching him for ages on the TV and whatnot, and you're thinking, well, I wonder what he's like. Is he going to speak to you or what's he going to do? But remember, he just came over and shook hands and says, welcome aboard, it's great to have you. Remember, himself and Colin were returning for the first time. So, you know, that there was, you didn't think of the time and then people, but that means a lot to a young fella coming in, you know, just one of those players actually speaking to you and that, you know. So I was always very conscious of that myself when I was older to make sure and try and welcome players and stuff like that.
Tato Gates of Legend Clark coming new class game and shocked in the show. That's the voice here of Christy Toy, of course, recently retired Donegal footballer, and also joined in studio here by Neil Gallagher. But we're just going to go for a short break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Get behind Donegal in 2017 and gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Roger Rash, Gajian Clark, coming to Claskey and the Shockton with the show with me, Tom Comack, and my special guest tonight, as you were listening to them before the break, was our Christy Toy and Neil Gallagher, of course, recently retired Donegal All-Ireland winners, and certainly going away from the game with plenty of honours, and we wish them all the best in that, obviously. Neil, we mentioned to you before we go back to Neil, just a couple of texts in here. Two brilliant fellows who have given massive service to the county. Enjoy the rest, boys, and thanks for the great memories. And best wishes, Neil. I don't know what happened, you, he, or Christy, but best wishes, Neil, from Ronan O'Donnell in Kincastle. I don't know what you did on Ronan, but obviously, Christy's, you have a boyhood hero there somewhere as well. So, same question to you. I asked it to Christy already, Neil. If you had one memory when you think back on it all,
I suppose a good few years and stuff. But I think definitely All Ireland that day against that day in the final against Mayo. Like it was to me that was I suppose the crowning moment of the whole lot, because you know, although you know it might have been our best performance of the whole time, I suppose, this last few years, but it was the moment that, you know, we left in Sam Maguire, like, so it's disappointing, I suppose, not to get it the 2 years after that in 2014, but nah, definitely, I suppose, like, as Christy, you know, one thing that he mentioned was the supporters and stuff, and I mean, all down through the years since I started playing that, the supporters have been brilliant, you know, towards me and towards the team and that, and they're very good supporters there in Donegal, you know. And no, I think that day in 2012, now just
that was a real All Ireland, because you know they say if you can't claim you've won an All Ireland unless you've beaten Kerry, you know, Donegal beat Kerry, Cork, Mayo,
I suppose in the final, like when you look at it, like it was just, I suppose there was a lot of pressure on Mayo and ourselves, like, you know, and that, but to get the start we got, like, you know, with Michael getting the goal and then Colin getting the goal and that, you know, and I think we're 7 points up and we kind of let them back into it in the first half. Yeah. But no, once we kind of got ahead then the second half and that, you know.
I got the impression looking at that game, kind of as it wore on, like you got such a good start. You nearly felt like, I thought, you know, the feeling was like, give us the cup and let's go home. Because, you know, it was kind of nearly a foregone conclusion. No, Mayo did come back.
And it wasn't foregone. I mean, you're out in the middle of it. Like you're kind of, you know, every point that they're clawing back, like it's always kind of, you know, it's putting the pressure on, like, you know, but it was good just near the end. Once you get that 4 point cushion, like, you know, you need two scores, like a goal and a point at least.
And did you ever in your wildest dreams think you would see that day? You know, given all that had gone before.
You'd hoped, like, you know, but again, you know, looking back now, you know, the kind of effort and stuff that, you know, we kind of had to put on to win it, like. Mm. You know, before that, we probably, as players, weren't really putting in that effort, you know, kind of thing that's required to win it. But, you'd always hope to, but I mean, to get there, like, you know, I mean,
It was Jim McGuinness that shone the torch.
Like, we had a couple of big defeats here and there, and maybe at quarter final stage, remember 2006 and that, you know, when Cork beat us and that. But we're still kind of, we were well away from it, like, you know, at the same time, even though it was a quarter final, because the other teams were just kind of so far ahead, you know. But I suppose, like, listen, 2011, what a Ulster, I'd say, you know, all the players and that would say that, you know, it gave us a good kind of a confidence booster, because we hadn't won it in a while, you know, and to go out again in 2012 and kind of won it again, definitely gave us the confidence, and listen, it just kind of took off from there, and that, you know.
Because, like, you know, like, Jim really came in and, you know, it was an amazing recovery, really, you know, because he changed the whole landscape ever since as well.
Exactly. I suppose, you know, before he came in, we all kind of thought we were sitting hard, you know, and that, but he kind of lifted it up again, and
And then there was the little lapses now and again as
Aye, but I suppose 2000 and the time we met, like the first meeting, like, you know, it's kind of been well documented, like that the fact that we were ranked something like 19th or something, like, you know, and in the space of 2 years to change that from 19th to first, and that, you know, was a massive. And, you know, in fairness to Jim and Roy and that in the committee, it was flat out, like, and it was just, do you know, as I was saying there during the week, when you kind of see all the different stuff, it was brilliant to be part of the whole thing, you know.
Because it did move on to a totally new level, didn't it?
Ah, it did, aye. And I suppose as we kind of, you know, when we won that time in 2011 in Ulster, like, when you got that wee bit of success, you kind of wanted more, you know. Mm. And there was, the competition was good and stuff, and for places in the panel and that. And now, listen, it lifted the whole thing. And even now, like, the standard's up, like Donegal's in the top table, like, there now, you know. So, that's the kind of the standard that they've brought it on, and you just need to keep it at that now, you know.
Best wishes and thanks, Neil and Christy, and good luck the future from Christy's former work colleagues at UHG, UHG, and good luck, lads, from Anton at the swimming pool in Gwydor. So, I'm not sure who that is, but and Christy, you know, you probably had a great run, and then you got injured, didn't you?
I suppose when I came into the team first, I was very fortunate. I got playing for 7 or 8 seasons, right, in the team all the time. You know, I was captain one season, and I never had an injury of any kind, really. You know, I can't ever remember missing a game through injury or training up in that period. And then just one evening in Balbuffet, the Achilles went, and I was out constantly then for a couple of seasons, you know. And even when I was coming back, you're always picking up them niggles and things like that there. So it was very difficult to get back in there. And obviously, in the All-Ireland season, the team's going that well.
Of all the years
ago. Well, that's it. The team's going that well, and you're kind of picking up niggly injuries, and you're always kind of chasing your tail in terms of injuries and things like that. It was very hard to get back in there, you know, and you couldn't really expect to come back into the team when the team was going around beating Kerry and Cork and things like that there, you know. But at the same time, you know, I just kept trying
to push. But you got your own in the All-Ireland, didn't you?
I came on the All-Ireland final. I came off the bench in a lot of the games, but came on for like the last 20 minutes or something in the final.
What was that like?
Yeah, it was a great buzz, you know. It was obviously, as you mentioned earlier on there, you're out the back in the backyard and imagining playing an All-Ireland final, and then when you actually get the chance to do it, it's a serious buzz. So, and added to the fact that we won the game, and I suppose all that hurt and disappointment from other years was kind of just washed away then. And at the same time, I suppose that kind of culture is there now in terms of preparing properly and training properly. So we'll give any Donegal team a good crack at winning all Ireland and things like that from here on in, you know.
Thank you, Gisela and Clark, coming to Glasgow and Shock and the Show, as usual here on a Wednesday night. And I'm with you for another, 5 or 6 minutes. My two guests here tonight are Christy Toy and Neil Gallagher. Neil, when you were growing up, and Christy mentioned it there, you know, you were dreaming of, when you were out the back after watching an All-Ireland or listening to an All-Ireland or whatever, you went out the back and you played your All-Ireland with your brothers. Who were you?
I suppose earlier on, it was probably Andy Malloy, I would say, you know. I suppose then, Darragh Shea and that was brilliant, you know. But then, I suppose when I first started kind of getting, maybe watching senior championship games here in Donegal and that, like John Gilday was probably, he was the man that kind of, you know, he's a great midfielder, like, you know, wasn't the tallest, like, but he had a great kind of, he had a good time and stuff, and he had a good way of kind of controlling the game and stuff, like, so I loved kind of competing against Gilday, and he was on the panel when I first came in, like, you know. But I suppose I did all the midfield, like, as again, it was midfield, kind of, was nearly all the concentrated on, like, I loved to watch Anthony Toth all the time, he was playing for Derry and that. John McDermott for Meath was another kind of fella I used to watch a lot, you know. But as I say, between Anthony Malloy and Darragh Shea, you know what I mean? Darragh Shea was brilliant. Like, he wasn't the tallest either, but he was... he was tough. He was broad and that, you know. And again, he could just, like, I mean, you could see them games, like the big games, he used to always kind of come up with the big catches and stuff, you know.
Tom, the image of Neil with the head bandaged up on the 2007 league final lifting the cup was another great day, wasn't it? It was. You probably don't remember it because the head been bandaged.
Aye, I remember.
What happened that?
I think, from what I remember now,
walked into the door in the dressing room.
It was a savage knock. Any other man, there would have been.
Tell me, we could go on forever, and we've only a few minutes left, but So maybe some of the lighter moments, any anthem that comes to mind. I know, and just apologies as well. We had hoped to have David Walsh with us tonight as well. Of course, David is another man that has retired, and indeed another man that has been forced out through injury. And David, unfortunately, couldn't be with us tonight. I meant to mention that earlier, but we will be doing a piece with Neil or with David in the future, because we wish him well in his retirement as well. I think he's going for surgery soon as well, isn't that?
Yeah.
But anyway, those lighter moments.
I suppose the crack was good. Like, I mean, even if you
down
hadn't
the back of the bus,
down the back of the bus side, you know, with these were the kind of working gang used to be down the back of the bus, and you know, and kind of went down there. We used to play cards and stuff, and the boys were cheating.
Boys been missing Neil down the back now. They don't really take money off. Neil was officially the worst card player in the bus. So he was.
Was he?
Well, he used to play. He thought he could play 25 on the bus, but so I was kind of the
Snap
main,
was a bit ahead
the
of
best player. Like, but then they used to teach all these.
Who was the joker on the bus?
What was this man here, Christy, and maybe McFadden?
Yeah, he was known to bring Brian McAniff a few times, I think, wasn't he?
Brian was always waiting on my calls, Tom. You know, he's always delighted to see my number pop on his phone.
He's still ringing, you know. But who was this man and Colin Matney as well? Now, you know, we used to kind of look back and Frank, too, kind of.
I remember one time Brian Roper brought scales to the train one night. McAniff brought scales, and Roper took the wee dial out and put a bit of chewing gum on it and got it stuck it. 15 stone, somebody stood on the scales, and McAniff was giving out yards because whoever it was about 3 stone over 8 weight was due.
Unfortunately, that's we have to leave it there. We'll have to get Christy and Neil back in another night. Thanks to my two guests tonight, Christy Toy and Neil Geller. Also, thanks to Jimmy Stafford and Sound, and most of all, thanks to you at home for listening to us.